The following shiur has been presented by Rav Shmuel Yeshaya Yaffe, Rosh Chabur Beis Medrash Gevoya, and Mechaber Sefer Shevilei Tzion, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
In other words, with regard to the Mishnah that said that after you finish davening, you got a shofar, you should blow shofar now, the Gemara discusses this, and the Gemara says that the blowing of the shofar is more important than the brachas. What does that mean? We try to do both, obviously. It means that if you have two cities, and in one of them they're going to blow the shofar, and one of them you're going to get the brachas of the tefillah, you go to the place where they blow shofar, and you don't go to the place where they have the tefillah. For Gemara Pshita, that's quite obvious. Here, shofar is the raisa, whereas the davening is only midrabanan. So if the Gemara leitzricha da afagav the havada iba hasafik. In other words, that's clear that if you have a deraisa to your right and a derabanan to your left, you should go to the deraisa, even if you're going to forfeit the derabanan. However, let's say the deraisa is a safik, you're not sure if you're going to get there and hear the shofar, whereas the other city you are sure that you will have the tefillah, then you should go to the safik deraisa instead of going to the vada derabanan. This is a very interesting Gemara, and I would like to discuss three different points about this Gemara. Number one, there is a rather common question which comes up if somebody is Mekabel Shabbos early on Friday night, or he davens early Friday night, and it is quite customary that if you daven too early, you should say over Kriya Shema later to make sure that you're being Yotze the Deraisa, because perhaps you davened before the Zman of Laila Vaday Deraisa. Regardless if that's 20 minutes after Shkia, 50, 72, in order to be Yaitz L'chal Deis, it's better to say Kriya Shema over again later, and as many do. Now, in the Tkufa of Sfiras HaEmer between Pesach and Shavuos, one will also go ahead and say Sfiras HaEmer again. So the question is, what shall he do first? Shall he do the Kriya Shema first, or shall he do the Sfiras HaEmer first? Even though Kriya Shema is more tadr, and so on and so forth, but the Kriya Shema, all in all, is a suffix deraisa. It's a suffix if you're doing a mitzvah, or you were already yaitz earlier, and maybe you're just learning Torah in general. Whereas Sfiras HaEmer, you're doing a vaday chiv derabanan, which you haven't yet done earlier. So if somebody is obligated in a vaday chiv derabanan of Sfiras HaEmer, and a suffix if he's being mekayim Kriya Shema, what should he do first? Now, l'chayr, this Gemara seems to say clearly that even a suffix deraisa goes before a vaday derabanan. Now, let's go into the question a little bit. A suffix deraisa, we know, is a machlekes Rambam and other Rishonim. Most Rishonim say that suffix deraisa l'chumra is a din deraisa, whether it's self-understood from the din of the deraisa, or it's learned out like the Sefer Charedim says from the Bacharta Bachayim, and so on and so forth. However, the Rambam holds that that is only a din derabanan midiraisa, sfeikas are mutter. And midirabanan, they are osir. So in that case, they would basically be two chiyuvim derabanan. One chiyuv adi derabanan of Sfiras HaEmer, and one chiyuv adi derabanan of suffix der kriya shema l'chumra. Similarly, in our Gemara, will be a chiyuv derabanan of suffix shofar, and a chiyuv derabanan of the davening on Rosh Hashanah. So l'chayra, we have a riot from this Gemara. The question is, obviously, that according to the Rambam, why aren't they the same? If the Rambam holds that suffix deraisa is only midrabanan, they should be the exact same. So you could suggest that with regard to suffix deraisa by a mitzvah saseh, the Rambam agrees that over there is deraisa. In other words, even though you hold that suffix deraisa is only a din derabanan and midraisa, you could be makel. That maybe is only with regard to suffix deraisa of chelev, and suffix deraisa of other Yisurim, but when it comes to mitzvah say, you need a vaday. It's interesting, you find that they achrayin in both ways, that even the Rambam that holds the suffix deraisa is l'kula min atayra, agrees that by mitzvahs it's l'chumra, and you also find on the flip side that some that hold that even the Rashba and others that hold the suffix deraisa is l'chumra min atayra, by mitzvahs you will agree that it's l'kula. But in any event, that would be a good smach and an explanation for our Gemara. However, the truth of the matter is that our Gemara in Rosh Hashanah really is not a raya at all to the Sfiras HaEmer Shaila. Because in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah over here, there's no suffix at all about his vaday obligation midiraisa to hear the shofar. The question is only whether or not he will fulfill that mitzvah by going to the town. So the mitzvah deraisa will still obligate him, even if you hold that normally suffix deraisa might be midirabonon, but over here he is obligated in Atayra to blow shofar. It's just a question if he will be able to do it there or not. So then he would definitely have to choose with the deraisa town as opposed to the tefillas, which is only derabonon. Also, it's interesting to mention that over here he's only going to be doing one of them, whereas in our case he could say Sriya Sa'imer and then blow Shofar, and then say Kriya Shema afterwards. Just an interesting tidbit and a point to ponder about our Gemara. Another famous concept that comes from our Gemara is the Chaye Adam. In Klal Samaches, in the end of Sif Yutes, he says, is a person obligated to uproot his dwelling and leave his home in order to be mekayim a mitzvah? We know that there are obligations to keep mitzvahs and there are certain rules up to a chaymish you have to spend. What about leaving your house? Do you have to leave your house to be mekayim a mitzvah? So up to Nishmas Adam, I have a raya that you don't have to leave your house to go to a different city to be mekayim even a mitzvah deraisa. And that is from our Gemara, because we started off that there are two cities, and one of them they're blowing shofar, and in one of them they have tefillas. Zok techayodim and nishmasodim, I don't understand the whole situation. Why didn't one city go to the other city before Shabbos? Apparently, they are not mechuyiv to uproot their dwellings in order to be mekayim a mitzvah. Now, it's understandable why he preferred not to say that even though they should have and they were supposed to, we're talking about where, by the way, they didn't. And it's also safe to assume that he didn't want to say that the two cities didn't know about each other, that they would have that option, but the fellow that we're discussing actually knew about it. Obviously, he didn't want to say like that. Okay, now, then the Chayyadim concludes, and he says, however, nearly the b'makim da'azul va'asi v'yayim v'mechuyiv leilich. But if he could go back and forth on the same day, then he is obligated to do so. And he brings a riot from a Gemara in Sukkah and a Simon Reish Kuf Samach Gimel and the Magen Avram. Now, L'chaira, it's a little bit interesting. This is a Mefurish Gemara right here in front of us that he's mechuyiv to go. In other words, that for the same token that he's proving that the people from the two cities were not obligated to go, what about this fellow himself that is going? Unless you tell me that he's doing Lefnim Mishir Zadin, apparently he's obligated to go. And why doesn't he go to both of them? So probably we're talking about where he can't go to both of them at one time. Now, if the truth of the matter is, what is the situation exactly? We know that there's a Mishnah in Sukkah, Daf Lamed Ches, that it says like this, Misha bo baderech v'lohay v'yodei lulov, li'yishay konis tubezoi yitol al shukhonai. A person came from the trip, and he didn't have a lulov, so when he gets home, he should shake a lulov. So without going through the whole Gemara, the Gemara says over there, they can have a medikoni misha bo baderech v'in b'yodei lulov. The yisaka daitach b'yom devrishan mishari. It must be that the Gemara is talking about Yandav Sheni, because on Yandav Rishon, how would he be allowed to travel? Tais is over there in Debra Amaschel Midiktoni, brings down the Gemara in Brachas Daf Lamed, that says a story about a fellow that was Hishkim Lotis Luderach, he should quickly shake Lulu before he leaves, or blow Shaifer before he leaves. So Tais discusses, what's going on over here? This guy's not allowed to travel on Yontif. So Tais says it's talking about where he's going, Taicha Tchum. And this is obvious that a person is not allowed to leave the Tchum. So it must be that the fellow in our Gemara had these cities Teichat Chum, or at least one of them was Teichat Chum, but L'chayr, if it's on Yontif, they would both have to be Teichat Chum, because we're clearing which one he should go to. Now, if that's the case, so apparently he is able to go to one and come back in the same day, but he just can't get to the other one, especially if you go with Rashi. Now, Rashi says that it's talking about if he goes to one, he might get there too late. In other words, he has to be there during davening. He can't get there later, apparently. Go to an individual's house and get the shofar. He has to get there in time. Al kapanim, if it's talking about on yontif, it's mefurish that he's mechuyiv to go to both. What's the logistics? Why aren't the bnei ha'ayaris mechuyiv on yontif to go from place A to place B? So perhaps you could say that it's talking about a situation where the two cities themselves are far enough that they're not able to go from ir echad to ir shtayim, and vice versa. However, the individual in the middle is able to go. Problem is, where is he? If he's in a city, it should have joined the tchumen of all of them. Interesting, the Meiri learns that this Gemara is all talking about before Yontif, even about the individual. And it's possible that maybe that's how the Chayyadim learned as well, and that's why he didn't have a raya. However, Rashi is clearly not learning like that, because Rashi says that if he comes to one and then he goes to the other, he's not going to get there in time. It's quite confusing, but in any event, the Chayyadim does bring the raya from here, that you don't have to leave your house from before Shabbos. Now, the Shaila exactly is, what is the obligation to leave your house before Shabbos? What is the discussion? He speaks about that maybe you shouldn't leave because there's Simchas Yontif, you're going to miss Simchas Yontif if you leave your home. And then he also says, because before Yontif, the mitzvah is not yet chal on you. Maybe that's a big chiddush. Pashtus, you would assume that the mitzvah is chal on you before. Just the shaila is exactly why it is chal, but it's pretty simple and obvious that a person is obligated to get himself a shofar before Rosh Hashanah, as opposed to waking up Rosh Hashanah morning and saying, hey, where's my shofar? Or, hey, where's my lulav? You're supposed to go get it before. Then Rabina says that perhaps you learned this out from Ara Shalayokim as Tibre Atayah Azois. And I always thought, and I found some Acharnim that say it, that the Zman for this is 30 days. In other words, 30 days before a mitzvah comes upon you, you are obligated to make sure and see to it that by the time the mitzvah is actually here, you have prepared yourself properly. That's a big shaila, whether this din of leaving your house is perhaps included in Chaimish. Just like you don't have to give up a Chaimish, perhaps a person would not want to give up a Chaimish in most scenarios to uproot his house, so that would be like a Chaimish, and therefore he would be exempt. And it's a big arichas in the Achroinim, the Einkam Mechaim and Laharach. Just one third nekuda I wanted to discuss is as follows. Rabbi Aaron Kotler used to say over from the Saba from Sablotka that even though we know that tefillah is normally the Rabbanon, but the Ramban says that tefillah ve'eis tzara is the Eiraisa. And he used to say that since we know that on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Meisim and Psuchim Lufonov, it's an eis tzara, therefore, even the Ramban would agree that on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, tefillah is the Eiraisa. The truth of the matter is that Rabbi Yosef Mislutsk also says the same exact thing as the Altaf in Slabotka in Joshua Sarim Mislutsk. And the truth is, we find also in the Rishonim in the last 10 blocks that they also say this. All over you'll find different, not all over, but in some places you'll find Rishonim that say that Rosh Hashanah has a din of an Eis Tzara. And it's really explicit in the Rizvan, Chulin Beis Amid Beis, as well as in the Durham Yudam Amid Beis, that we say, the Yudam Amid Aleph, that we say that Tayyash Elitidim, Mishatidim, Elitidim, Shalem, Zokter is Vol, but on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur it has a din of an Eis Tzara, a Neujin Beis Tzara, because Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Meisim, Psuchim Lefanecha. I wanted to add that it's really almost a Mefurish Pasuk in Tehillim, Kapitel Pei Aleph, where it says, Tikka B'chaydeh Shofar, B'ketel Yom Chageinu, which is obviously referring to Rosh Hashanah, and then the Pasuk continues, Eidus B'Yosef Samoy, which the Gemara Rosh Hashanah earlier in Daf Yud Aleph said, is a raya that Yosef was Yatsami based on Surim on Rosh Hashanah, and on Amad Beis over there in Daf Yud Aleph, the Gemara says, that butla avoida from Avisena b'Mitzrayim because of Hasiroisi Misevel Shichmoy, also in that capital. And then the capital continues and says, Batsara karosa v'achal tzecha. It's really frightening and it's a dire situation. That's why we give more tzedaka and so on and so forth. And perhaps tefillah on Rosh Hashanah is the Eiraisa. The problem is that our Gemara is mefurish that tefillah is the Rabbanon. Now, even though Rabbi Yonti Hirschsprung, my friend, pointed out to me that there's a Ran on the Daf Arif on Daf Testament Beis and Tainis, which sounds like it's not an Eis Tzara, and seemingly the same thing is found in the Levush and Siman Tov Tzadik with regard to the discussion about Gula L'Tfilah and being Mafsik with Yom Le'Abosho, so there are some that hold that it's not an Eis Tzara. However, we still have to answer those that hold that it is an Eis Tzara. So, the truth is that there's another issue here also, that Malki is the Grandest Meshaifis Pashtus is also the Eiraisa, and here the Gemara seems to call it the Rabbanon. And the Yom Tshuva really points it out earlier on Daf Lamed Beis, Ayin Sham. But perhaps the Kasha is not really so shver, because over here we're talking about Tefillah B'Tzibur. Even if you say that Tefillah is the Eiraisa, but he could daven on his own. Not necessarily are we talking about that someone doesn't know how to daven, we're just talking about someone who needs a minion for Musaf, and that's what he's going to get in one of his two cities here. On the topic of Rosh Hashanah being an Eis Tzara, I just wanted to point out an interesting tidbit that we find that Chana davened and Eli considered her a shikaira. He thought that she was a shikar. Rashi says, Shaloi hayu regilun lispalo b'lachash. They didn't used to daven quietly. That's what Rashi says in Shmuel. The question is, why didn't they used to daven quietly? Rashi says, the Gemara says, Mefurish and Brachas Chavtalad and Lamed Alef and it's Kapaskas and Shulchan Aruch, that you're not allowed to daven loud. So, the Shlach HaKadosh does not ask this question, but he does point out that the reason why she was davening loud is because we are knowing to daven loud on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And that is actually brought down in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Kuf Aleph, in Hilchas Tfilah, as well as in Hilchas Reish Hashanah. That on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim, we daven louder. The Mefarshim say, because the whole problem is because you might disturb your neighbor, or Shalil Vaisha, and on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim, people have Machzerim. But the Beis Yosef, actually, if you look carefully, does not know exactly where this developed from, and he's wondering what happened to the din of Kolam Nagvia Kaila B'Tfilosei HaReza Miktani Amona. So I was just thinking that the Mabit speaks about a lot of times how you find Lashonis of Zahoka and Zahoka by davening. How does it stem with that we say Yosel Agbia Kaila B'Tfilosei? And the Mabit tells Avek that the Yisoid is the difference between all the times where you're supposed to be quiet and the individual scenarios where you find specifically that you're allowed to raise your voice by davening. Zok there in Beis Elikim Perek Vov, that in an Eis Tzara it's different. In order to lachazik hakavon and lo'ir asmoi, he's allowed to scream in tefillah. So Lafi, what we're saying, that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim have a gather of an ace tzara because of the Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Meisim, Psuchim Lefanecha, it is very well understood why you're allowed to daven loud on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, even though normally we say that you should not daven loud. Lafi Zet, Meyushav the Rashi that says, Shalayi Regil and Lispal Balakash, because the Shlot says, and others take on also like that, that that story with Eli HaKohen and Chana was on Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, again, from our Gemara, it's not so fair, because our Gemara is talking about Tfilas B'tzibur. But Tfilas Ba'alma, maybe in a Hanami, they would have a din of a Tfilas De'raisa, because it's Za'aka Be'ez Tzara. So again, just to recap, we discussed the Shaila of Safik De'raisa and Avada De'rabonon. Are they the same, or is the Safik De'raisa still Chomer? And perhaps over here it's different, because he's Vada Mechuyiv De'raisa, and it's not a Tzushtel to laying over Kriya Shema together with Sphira Sa'omer and such. Then we discussed about if a person is Mechuyiv to uproot himself, to go to a different city to be Mekayim a Mitzvah, and perhaps that's why the two Bnei Ayaris didn't go to each other, because they're not Mechuyiv to. And we also discussed if the Tfilas on Rosh Hashanah are an Eis Tzara or not.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.